A lot of people talk about this issue of doxorubicin and HER2-positive disease. Can you kind of put that in perspective? How much of a difference or benefit is it to use doxorubicin in these patients?
Here's a wrinkle that I think is kind of interesting. The trastuzumab adjuvant data have every bit as much implication for HER2-negative breast cancer as they have for HER2-positive breast cancer.
That's a good one.
Maybe even more, because there are four times as many cases of HER2-negative breast cancer as there are of HER2-positive breast cancer. So based on these data, we're going to be treating HER2-positive disease separately. We're going to take those patients, we're going to offer them trastuzumab-based therapy, we're going to radically change the natural history of their disease. Now let's go back and say, well, what do we know about treating HER2-negative breast cancer? And the answer is, we know almost nothing. All of the things that we've established over the past 10 to 15 years as important in adjuvant chemotherapy, introduction of anthracyclines, the introduction of taxanes, the use of dose-dense scheduling, all these things that we think have been progress have been tested in unselected cohorts of patients, women whose tumors were HER2-positive and women whose tumors were HER2-negative. Most of them have been presented with relatively short follow-up. Well, who has recurrences and relatively short follow-up? These are women who tend to have HER2-positive breast cancer. So imagine, if you will, a cohort of mixed patients, HER2-positive and HER2-negative. They have a finite risk of recurrence as a group. Now imagine just splitting these out into two groups, HER2-negative and HER2-positive. Well, we know that the HER2-positive women are going to do less well historically because they have a more aggressive tumor. And by contrast, the women whose tumors are HER2-negative, their prognosis is better. So the first thing that happens when you take the HER2-positives and move them out of the unselected pool of breast cancer patients is that everybody with breast cancer does better. This is called the Will Rogers effect. It's a well-described phenomenon in cancer stage migration, and it derives from Will Rogers' quip that when the Okies moved from Oklahoma to California, it raised the intelligence in both states. That is to say, you know, you've just shifted the demographics. You haven't changed the fundamental intelligence, but you've shifted the demographics. Well, for HER2-negative breast cancer, we've now shifted the demographics. Those women have a better prognosis than we historically have imagined because we've taken out the bad apples that were HER2-positive. So now let's think again about all these adjuvant improvements that we've made. There's a lot of retrospective data that anthracycline-based therapy is particularly effective in women whose tumors are HER2-positive. If you look at the classic NSABP trials like B15, the benefit of anthracyclines over CMF with AC was only seen in women whose tumors were HER2-positive. Otherwise, it's all the same. If you look at MA5, which was CEF versus CMF, and showing a substantial difference for CEF, in fact, that was one of the studies that led to approval of epirubicin in the adjuvant setting, all of the benefit is in women whose tumors are HER2-positive. If the woman's tumor was HER2-negative, the curves are exactly superimposable. And you can go on and on and on through all of the studies that have been done with anthracyclines. Any of them that have looked at an interaction have more or less found, with a couple of rare exceptions, that HER2-positive tumors selectively benefit from the anthracycline. And HER2-negative patients, it's not clear that the anthracycline helps beyond what CMF does. We don't have as good a data set for taxane therapy, but an obvious prediction is that taxane addition to anthracyclines is going to benefit women whose tumors are particularly HER2-positive, rapidly proliferating, tend to be hormone insensitive. That's where you see the greatest gains with the introduction of taxane-based therapy. And finally, we don't have the data for dose-dense treatment. But again, if you just believe the Norton-Simon hypothesis that cell proliferation matters and that scheduled chemotherapy matters, it is likely that the tumors that benefit most from changing the schedule of chemotherapy in a dose-dense fashion are those rapidly proliferating, hormone-insensitive tumors. Well, those are the HER2-positive tumors. Now think about adjuvant endocrine therapy.